to RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Breakfast Bite on this Wednesday morning, the 7th of April, 2021. Andrew Mays with you for the next 25 minutes as we run you through the latest in the world of racing and sport. Let's start with the Bombers. Will Dyson Heppel, the skipper, be back this week from his back injury?
Yeah, so he's been improving all the time. He'll train today, and if he gets through that, fine. He'll be available for selection. Yeah, I think if he plays, he'll play out there.
So no return via the VFL for the Bombers captain. Hopefully this week for Essendon fans. They play Sydney tomorrow night at the SCG. Meanwhile, we're building up to the Masters as well. Jason Day's got a new body. Hopefully that can help him.
My body feels tremendous. I've always said that, you know, I'd get to 40 and reevaluate things. I feel with the way my body's going, I feel like I can play to 50 now, which is great. And I just got to stay mentally sharp and try and want it more than anyone else.
And it was a bit of a thriller in the A-League last night. A 2-2 draw between Western Sydney and the Central Coast.
Kamau with a surge. Around one. Deflection. Bruce Kamau!
3 goals in the last 15 minutes. It was an absolute thriller. But the points shared, 1 each there last night. And then the Melbourne teams are back in action in a couple of nights' time. There's plenty to get through on a busy edition of The Breakfast Bite.
You're listening to RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
Don't forget, after 6 this morning, Half and Whitey are back with the Breakfast Club, and there is plenty to get through as well. Russell Milton from England will be on with the latest from the Premier League. There's a few Champions League games taking place as well. The early mail before 7 o'clock as we try and get you a winner. Sherelle McMahon will be part of the crew after 7. Shane Edwards, so Tigers fans, make sure you're listening after 7 o'clock this morning. In case you miss it, it will be up via our podcasts as well. So Shane Edwards, 3-time Premiership star, will be part of the Inner Sanctum after 7 this morning. Josh Kennedy, Sydney captain, also to join the guys. Sam Harper from Victoria. Dave Vessels, coach of the Melbourne Rebels. And then Rocket, looking forward to his views on the way the game is being played in the opening rounds after 8 o'clock this morning, and also Chris Golding. So a chock-a-block show coming to you on The Breakfast Club. After 8.30, Michael Felgate with Racing Pulse, and also Gareth Hall with RSN Central as they take you through another day up there in Sydney at the Easter English Sales. So plenty happening there, and there was plenty happening yesterday as well. Make sure you tune in after 8.30 to catch the latest from up there in Sydney, and hopefully we can get you a winner on this Wednesday as well. Let's start with the footy world, though, and we'll start with Ben Rutten. It's been an up and down start for Bombers fans. Pretty depressed after a couple of rounds and then fought back last week magnificently with that huge thumping of the Saints. What does the coach make of their current form line?
It's a great opportunity that we're looking forward to. And they're going as well as any team in the comp, and to be able to go up to Sydney, you know, if we think back to round two, we went over to Port Adelaide and again, similar situation. Playing away against a team in good form, and you know, we didn't start great at all. You know, we gave up 5 goals pretty quickly, so that'll be a big focus for us to be able to start well. But our guys are really looking forward to another opportunity to go travel and play against a really top team. Thought the way we fought the game out was fantastic. You know, even I think 2 minutes to go, Darcy Parrish laser chase down tackle in the goal square. It's a great indication of the guys' attitude. We're not going to get the scoreboard looking like that for 4 quarters, but I think the way we played was the pleasing thing. And you know, it's not always going to go our way, but the way we've stuck to what we've been training and what we're wanting to do was really good. It looks great in attack, but it's often built off really strong defence and contest work. You know, I think that needs to be cornerstone of our game. And some of the attacking stuff we see on the back of getting some good turnovers and playing the game more the way we want to play it.
Ben Rutten speaking there yesterday. One man's on everyone's lips, Buddy Franklin, and whether he will play. What does the Essendon coach think about that?
Yeah, look, we'll prep for him to be in there. I think what we're seeing more and more with Sydney and most teams is that they're not a one-dimensional footy club. You know, they're not solely relying on Buddy playing for them to be a good team. So we'll certainly pay the respect that we need to for Buddy, but understand there's a bigger job at hand.
What about a man who's slightly closer to Buddy? Callum Mills here, his teammate in Sydney.
There's no real individual that has to kick 10 goals. Bud doesn't have to come out this week and kick, you know, 15 goals. It's it's what we can do as a team, because that'll help us get the best performance. I think you just want to kick to the person who's in the best position, whether it's Bart or someone else. You've got control over the ball and it's just picking the best options. It is nice kicking to Bud when he's coming at you a million miles an hour, but we do have other options as well.
So hopefully we will see Buddy Franklin tomorrow night. Always good to see a big Buddy out there tomorrow night as the Bombers travel up to Sydney to take on the Swans in Thursday night footy. We'll hear a little bit more from Callum Mills later on in the show. Let's head to the Saints now, where, well, they came under a lot of scrutiny after their poor performance against the Bombers on the weekend. Captain Jack Steele here on the Hard Talk at St Kilda.
People will be entitled to their own opinions, but there were a few efforts on the weekend that just weren't good enough, and they weren't the Saints' way, I guess. So we've gone through them, and we're going to hold blokes accountable here on out. So we've had some pretty harsh, open and honest conversations in the last couple of days about our previous two performances and the effort we've shown. So we're just controlling what we can this week.
Oh, you can easily look at those games and be scared of what's to come, but as we've already seen so far in this season, there's so many upsets and blowouts and stuff like that. I think Rowan Marshall might be a chance to play. He got through a VFL game on the weekend unscathed, so the doctors and physios will monitor him and see how he's progressing this week.
One man who has come under a lot of criticism is $900,000 man Brad Hill. What has been the verdict from an internal perspective on their high-priced recruit from a couple of years ago?
He'll be the first one to admit that he's out of form, and we've sort of encouraged him to still be that bubbly, happy character that he is out on the track and in the club. So we're trying to encourage him to stay the same and stick to the process, train hard, and eventually form will come. So, yeah, he has been a little bit flat after some of the performances that he's had this year.
Gee, there was a lot of injury news around yesterday as well. Just to update you on a couple. First of all, Jared Witts confirmed that he will be out for the season, which is a shocking blow for a man who's been an absolute warrior up there for the Gold Coast Suns and really grown into a leadership role. Let's hear from head of footy, John Haynes.
Jared underwent some scans this morning, and those scans revealed an ACL rupture. So he'll undergo surgery in the short term, and what it'll mean from a playing point of view is that he'll miss the rest of the season, unfortunately. Yeah, it's disappointing for Witsy first and foremost, and for the club as well. But we've already seen in the last sort of 12 or so hours with Jared's response, he's already looking forward as to how he can impact the club and impact the group, how he can grow his leadership and influence the playing group through his rehab and his presence around the club. And From a broader club point of view and team point of view, we see it as an opportunity. There's going to be opportunity for someone else and to step into that role, but also for the team to step up and fill the void that he leaves. And that the playing group and the leadership group in particular are excited by that opportunity.
Now, the road gets a little bit harder for GWS as well. Of course, 34-point losers to Melbourne on the weekend. It's their worst start to a season in quite some time. They face Collingwood this week on Saturday evening. And they're going to be without three key players as well, not just for this week against the Pies, it's going to be for quite some time. Scans yesterday confirming Stephen Cornelio suffered a syndesmosis setback, so he will miss around 6 weeks, 6 to 8 weeks. Defender Phil Davis will miss 6 games with a calf injury. And Matt DeBoer, his hamstring, he's actually ruptured the tendon, which means he will miss around 10 weeks for the Giants. So that is an absolute disaster for them, who started poorly at zip and three with a percentage of just 73.5%. So a lot of work for the Giants to do, and they're going to be without some key players over the next couple of weeks. So a bit of a bitter blow there. Still awaiting scan results as well for a couple of Cats as well. Sean Higgins, who looked like he popped his hammy as he came to the bench on Easter Monday. So you'd think that'll be out for at least 3 weeks. And Francis Evans, who had a bit of bruising on his ankle, was on crutches after the game, but hopefully that's just precautionary for the youngster. Yeah, we will find those scan results out later today. So good luck to both of those. Hopefully they are not too lengthy outs from the game. Let's head to the golfing world. It is Masters Week. We are building up, and we always love an Australian perspective. You heard Jason Day off the top of the show commenting on his body. He's hopefully got it right, and he's still got a long time in the game. Still only 33 years of age, Jason Day, and he's enjoying a new outlook on golf as well.
I wouldn't say I'm reinventing myself. I mean, I would just say that I'm just maturing. To be driven by results to make you happy, that's very temporary, and your emotions go up and down, and, you know, to the point where you're always constantly thinking about it. So, you know, my goal is to get back to number one in the world.
One man who's everyone is focused on after his, shall we say, regime over the last 18 months, Bryson DeChambeau, who is absolutely bombing it. New driver this week as well at Augusta. He wants to improve on his efforts from last year, where he came in actually as joint favourite late in the year, but unfortunately wasn't able to continue the form out on Augusta National.
This has been on my radar since I was a kid. And now that I've accomplished winning the U.S. Open, this is the next goal for me. And I will not stop my pursuit of knowledge of the game, knowledge of the body, knowledge of the golf swing, to give myself the best opportunity to win. At the end of the day, it comes down to execution. You got to be able to go out there and hit a great shot and execute when the pressure comes around. So it's funny you say that, because I can give myself the most advantages all day long, but if I don't go out there and just execute, it doesn't really mean much.
It is Lee Westwood's 20th start this week at Augusta as well, and the Englishman, who hasn't yet broken through, is in some fantastic form, especially over the last 6 or 8 months himself. Hopefully, this would be a fairy tale story if he could get the job done in his 20th time going round.
Well, I've always loved Augusta National. You know, I just saw that, where it's my 20th time here, and I still remember the first time I came here like it was yesterday, really. And it's such a special place, you know, the traditions, and, you know, you feel fortunate to drive down Magnolia Lane, and it's always special, you know, the walk. I think the walk over the 11th down the hill, seeing the 12th in the distance, you know, it still sent chills yesterday when, I mean, I came here with you 3 weeks ago, but even yesterday, you know, it sent chills down my spine just to see, you know, Amen Corner in the distance there. It's, you know, it's a very special place.
Good story from Phil Mickelson coming up later in the show as well, talking about the Masters Champions Dinner and just taking everyone's money off them when Adam Scott was serving up his feast after winning in 2012, I think that was, a while ago now. Let's head to the A-League. You heard off the top, it was a 2-2 thriller last night between the Western Sydney Wanderers and the Central Coast Mariners. So the Mariners stay top of the A-League table. Let's hear from Carl Robinson. A couple of controversial non-penalty calls, especially one late in the game.
I've watched it in there as a group with my chairman, with my CEO, 9 times. And I cannot tell you if it's a penalty or not. And I keep getting told clear and obvious is the two brilliant words that people like to throw out there and use. I also got showed an incident, Melbourne City game against Central Coast, to be fair, 2 weeks ago. Same ref, same decision. It looked like a penalty, not given. VAR, not given. So again, unless it's clear and obvious, you can't overturn something like that. And I think he's got it wrong.
Now, there's a bit of speculation around the Central Coast Mariners that their young gun, Alu Kwol, who has been impressive up forward this season, might be headed overseas. Now, this is obviously a constant battle for Australian teams, trying to hold on to the best young talent and when to make the move for a youngster to progress in the world of soccer. Here's what Alan Stajic, his coach, had to say about that possibility.
Yeah, look, that's a tough one, isn't it? It's not necessarily a question for Alo. It's a question for any young player, isn't it? You know, how many Aussies go there and progress after their first move? So, you know, you want to ensure that it's the right environment, the right coach, they're going to get the right exposure. You know, we could talk of so many good examples, couldn't we, Garby, over the last 10 or 15 years of Aussies that have gone in and done well, and then, you know, the countless more stories of players who have had to come back home and not really succeed and not get game time. And so, you know, each one to their own. Every case is unique.
FC Stuttgart, the team that he's been linked with over in the Bundesliga. Let's finish with the A-League with Steve Corica, who's talking about the run home for Sydney FC, trying to defend their crown.
Yeah, every game's pretty important leading into the end of the season now. So Perth is obviously a very good team. They have quality players that can hurt you, and we just have to make sure you know, we're on our game first and foremost. We play well with the ball, we create chances, but also defensively we have to be strong because they do have a good attacking lineup and they've scored a lot of goals this season.
Time to take a break at 13-6 on your Wednesday morning. Just before we head there, a couple of live Champions League scores going on at the moment. Real Madrid 2-0 over Liverpool at halftime, and Manchester City lead Borussia Dortmund 1-0 at halftime. So one English team going well, the other, Liverpool, with a bit of work to do in the second half there at Real Madrid in the Champions League. Time to take a break. Back with more after this.
RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
Payton to Noel, stripped by Aldridge, clean. Oh, there's Kyrie breaking out for the two-handed slam. Irving rises up.
40 points for Kyrie Irving yesterday. The results from the NBA. The Nets beat the Knicks 114-112. Raptors over the Wizards. The Pistons over the Thunder. Timberwolves over the Kings. The Cavs beat the Spurs. The Mavericks beat the Jazz. And the Suns beat the Rockets. Ben Simmons in action around 9:30 this morning as they take on the Celtics, the 76ers there. So looking forward to that a little later on today. Let's head now to a bit of NRL news. And this is a really interesting concussion case. Now, Jake Friend, who is the Sydney Roosters captain, is actually contemplating retiring from the game after a number of head knocks. He copped his latest head knock in round one this year. Close friend Jared Waria-Hargrave spoke about his condition and his decision that lies ahead of him over the next couple of weeks.
He's obviously in the right hands. He's seen a few specialists there and heard with Robbo last week. You know, they're going to address it this week. So we're just here as mates, you know, just trying to comfort in the right way. But no doubt he'll have a decision to make, and he'll make it in the time that he needs.
And this is an interesting one as well on NRL 360 last night on Fox Sports. Peter Bedell, who's a reporter with the Courier Mail, reporting that Wayne Bennett will finish up at the Rabbitohs and will head back to Brisbane, although his future not necessarily lying with the Brisbane Broncos.
He has told South's bosses that he will be moving back to Queensland on a permanent basis. Now, South Sydney were keen to keep him in an ancillary role, perhaps a coaching director's role, staying in Sydney at Redfern. Wayne Bennett says he'll be going back to Queensland. And, of course, Ben, we know what this means. It opens the door for a potential return to Red Hill and a possible reunification with Kevvy Walters, the man he knows so well, who is doing it tough at the moment at the Broncos. He needs some help, needs some senior leadership. Perhaps that leadership could come in the form of Wayne Bennett, who is a free agent next season. He says he's got a number of options at his disposal. One of those is, of course, staying on at South Sydney in a consultancy role from Queensland. There's also been interest from the Redcliffe and the Brisbane Jets prospective bid teams who are looking to become Brisbane's second team in 2023. They're looking at Wayne Bennett as a head coach for those operations. So, look, he won't be shy of options, Ben. But at the end of the day, I think in his heart, he would desire a return to Red Hill. And, of course, there are political complexities with what happened with the Brisbane Broncos board and his sacking in 2018. But if they can overcome those hurdles, Ben, I know privately Kevvy Walters is open to having Wayne Bennett back.
Very interesting. And I wonder what that would mean for Craig Bellamy as well, because it has been mooted that the Broncos have offered him a coaching director's role as well. So plenty of movement still off-field in the NRL. Let's head back to the footy world. Some more injury news to get to as well. Now, this is not good news for one of our own here at RSN. Dylan Shiel, part of the Inner Sanctum, out for 4 months with that knee injury. It's actually worse than first thought. So that's an absolute shocker for Dylan Shiel. Hopefully he can get back a little bit quicker, but the initial diagnosis is that he will be out for around 16 weeks, which might even put him out for the remainder of the season. Let's head to John Haynes now, who you heard confirming Jared Witz's ACL tear yesterday, but also spoke about the confidence that is brewing up there at the Suns.
Plenty of positives. I mean, I think, you know, we 23 inside 50s to 11 in the last quarter. You know, we ran the game out really well and we had our opportunities in every game so far this year. We've been in front in the last quarter and had our opportunities to win the game. You know, we've been able to do that once, and against West Coast and against the Crows, we weren't able to finish the game off. So, you know, an enormous amount of positives and things to work on, but also some things that if we can execute, particularly late in games, a little bit better, which is what the guys are committed to doing, then we think we can get the result. The guys take, great positivity and great confidence out of the three games so far. We just haven't been able to execute in the last part of the game, but you know, we're seeing great progress, and the opportunity to stay in game late and put ourselves in winning positions is a positive.
Sydney v Essendon tomorrow night. Tab.com.au, Sydney $1.20, Essendon $4.40. So that is quite the piece of value for Essendon there. Now, Callum Mills spoke yesterday about the Swans' improvement in the first couple of games of the season and how their attack has changed as well.
I think it sort of started back in the hub last year with the way we wanted to play. It obviously doesn't happen overnight, so it's been a bit of a process in terms of the way we want to play and things like that, but as I said, it's just not the first three rounds. There's been a lot of work that's gone into how we want to play, and the good sign is that there's still plenty of work to be done, which we're also excited by. We're just taking one game at a time, as cliche and as boring as it is. I'm sure you don't want to hear that, but that's the reality of it, because if you get it too far ahead of yourself, you know, things really come back to bite you. So one week at a time. This week we're lucky that we have Essendon on a short day break. It's a quick turnaround. We've got to move on pretty fast. So we're looking forward to it. So SCG on Thursday night. They play really exciting footy. I think they put up, you know, over 130, 140 odd points on the weekend against St Kilda, who are a great side. So obviously got to be really wary of that, and they've got a lot of damaging players that can really hurt you individually. So, you know, we'll review them this afternoon, tonight, really wrap our heads around it and come up with a game plan to try get over the top of them.
Now, there was so much talk about Patrick Dangerfield's suspension, but we hadn't really heard from Jake Kelly, the man who was on the end of the Dangerfield bump. He spoke yesterday about the concussion that he suffered at the time.
Probably after 5-6 days, I went back to the complete normality. I felt great again. Last recollection of the concussion was probably the handball. And then since that moment, I couldn't really recall much of the game or remember going back out into the ground or seeing anyone after the game. So I got my bearings back the next day and sort of started to remember bits and pieces in the morning of the game and bits like that. But yeah, I don't remember much, unfortunately. The AFL is really strict now, which is great. I think it's a really good initiative they've put in place. They've put a 12-day time frame in place, so you can't play before that time is up. They were really strict on each day. You had to tick off certain boxes, so days 1 to 2 were complete rest, and then you build up from there in terms of light to moderate exercise into the main training. And yeah, the PPT staff at the club did a fantastic job, and I'm very grateful for them managing the schedule and the group around me trying to get back for last Friday night under the protocols. Yeah, it's quite scary. I mean, it's not nice. My parents were there as well, so it's not nice, obviously, having your parents there at the game and having to see you down at the rooms in a bit of a state. So it's not a very enjoyable experience looking at yourself, and the vision was replayed numerous times. So to watch yourself get KO'd essentially, and you feel a bit sorry for your head and your brain, but yeah, it is what it is, and I felt great, like I said, after a few days. So I'm back to complete normality now, and I feel fantastic. Pat contacted me the next day, so we exchanged a few texts, and that was great, and he reached out, and yeah, I obviously live with Pat, so I've got a great amount of respect for what he did for me in my early years at the club. He did a lot for me and his partner Marty, so yeah, I'm incredibly grateful for that and what he did for me. But yeah, obviously, it was an unfortunate incident. Yeah, he made a decision, and unfortunately, I came off second best in that. Or he did with 3 games.
Jake Kelly there speaking yesterday. So interesting to get the opposite perspective from that Dangerfield bump. That's it for the Breakfast Bite on this Wednesday morning. Coming up after 6 o'clock, the Breakfast Club boys return with plenty coming on the show as well. What a massive lineup it is, including Sydney captain Josh Kelly, Premiership player Shane Edwards, Rodney Eade, Chris Golding, Dave Vessel, Sam Harper. There is so much to get through over the next 2.5 hours, and then a big morning of racing from up in Sydney as well at the Easter Sales. Make sure you stay tuned all throughout the day. In case you miss anything, head to the website rsn.net.au or subscribe to the podcast at 6 o'clock.